The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Did you know the Tech Podcast Network was home of the best tech podcasts like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show at MikeTechShow.com and Byron Brown, the Byron Brown Tech and Stuff, the Blur Binary, and now the Road of I and We with co-host Benjamin Strong. Please check them out at bbtas.com. Tell them the Lou Trek Show sent you. Why? Because he loves you.
You're listening to show number 83 for Thursday, January 13, 2011. And some might say that's the last straw.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from the FCA. Liquidator Lou Costanzo.
Welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
I'm a mog. Half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.lutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is lutrekshow, and that is all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point, and we will work them in as part of a future show. Heck, if you just write to me, you can keep it long and verbose. I don't care. You can send us voicemail on Skype by plugging in Lou Trek Show. Send us or add us as a contact on Skype. You can even be part of the show on any future roundtable discussion on Star Trek that we may have. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, by going to loutrekshow.com/social. And tonight, unfortunately, Brian is not here because he's not feeling well. He's a wee bit under the weather. Well, so am I, but as I believe maybe P.T. Barnum said, the show must go on. So speaking of our guest, let's go ahead and cue him some music. And now, coming to us live from the GetUO.me studios, host of the Computer Repair Podcast, the Mac Tip Podcast, and the one you heard earlier about, The Road of I and We, with his co-host, Byer Brown. The Lou Trek Show is proud to present tonight's guest host, Benjamin Straw. Hey Ben, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. That intro was pretty good.
It was a toss up between Michael Jackson and Benny and the Jets.
Oh jeez.
So
Benny and the Jets. I'm not a big fan of Benny and the Jets, so thank God he didn't get that.
Well, and my daughter loves Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So it works out. So how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, not bad. I hope you can do it without Byer Brown today. It's just Lou.
Yeah, it's just Lou.
Just Lou. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
and did you notice our intro included the Road of I and We? And actually, I just realized something when I heard that.
Uh-huh.
It says, you know, the Tech Podcast Network is home of the best tech shows like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show and Byer Brown of BBTAS, the Blur Binary, and now the Road of I and We. But the Road of I and We isn't part of the Tech Podcast Network, but still.
It's actually part of the Blueberry Network, really.
And which is all run by Raw Voice.
Yeah.
So actually, you will be, you know, you'd be fine. And
yeah, we've got a couple other shows. The Mac Tip Podcast that's on the Tech Podcast Network, and so also the Computer Repair Podcast.
Yep, and I was going to ask you that. It's interesting that you do the Computer Repair and the Mac Tip Podcast. So you want to tell us a little bit about of each?
Let's see. The Computer Repair Podcast, currently on hiatus, but going to be coming back soon. It's a Mac podcast that tells you about tips. Simple, 5 minutes around there, tells you a single tip in each episode. The Computer Repair Podcast is a podcast about computer repair. We bring in topics and software updates and other stuff for computer repair people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
so you're bilingual. You speak both language.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Fascinating.
All texts are supposed to be bilingual.
Oh, really? Well, I look at a Mac like a monkey doing a math problem.
Yeah, but to tell you the truth, they're all the same.
When you all
get down to it, it's computer hardware.
You're podcasting with my buddy, Byer Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been accused of having a bromance with Byer Brown. So anytime I could talk about him on my podcast, it feels good because, you know, he always reciprocates.
Yeah, he does.
So everybody check him out at bbtas.com. But here's a little bit of you guys together. Is it all right if I play this?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, just a second. Here we go.
KetUO. Quality entertainment that's undeniably outstanding. This is the road of I and We with Ben Straw and Byer Brown.
And the drama unfolds. Will Byer answer the call, or will it be Road of I and I? Nope, it's me, Byer Brown. No, I'm not Byer Brown. This is Ben Straw for the Road of I and We. And with me today is Mr. Byer Brown. What's up?
Nothing much. I'm hanging. I'm banging. Yep.
You're hanging and banging?
Yeah, just holding it down. Brand new year.
Thank God.
Yes, I'm feeling hot.
Oh, feeling hot.
Yeah, I'm ready to go this year.
Yeah, but how can you feel hot when it's only, what, 20 degrees outside?
Well, I'm feeling hot like, you know, head full of steam, ready to break apart, break down some walls, get it going. I'm ready this year.
You ready this year?
Yeah, there's going to be some hotness happening this year.
You know what really, really makes me mad about the new year?
What's that?
Is it's cold when it's the new year. I want it to be warm when it's the new year.
No, it got to be cold.
Yeah.
It has to be cold in the new year.
Cold.
Yeah, because then you're working towards something. If it was like warm,
although that is true,
you wouldn't appreciate it and whatnot. You know, they call January. Then January is the name of the door or something like that. And old Roman philosophy or Roman mythology is what I meant to say. They had a god of the door or something to that degree. But January is named for the door, or to pass through the door.
Hmm.
You know?
You think he just made that up?
I think he just did.
But then again, Byer's pretty dang smart, so he probably knows something that you and I don't. So what else can you tell us about yourself? What else do you do besides these, well, one show and three in hiatus, or two in hiatus and one dead on arrival?
I am a geek by heart, a science fiction geek, and for my day job, I work as a route driver for a vending company. We pretty much distribute ice cream to vending machines throughout the Chicagoland area.
Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy.
Not when it's cold outside.
Of course not. And you can't really have the truck too hot, can you?
Oh, believe me, if I could keep my truck on 24/7, I would, or at least when I'm in the truck, that truck would be warm. By the end of the day, let's just say my truck is nice and cozy and toasty. That freezer in the back, once you get in during the first initial day, it just chills you to the bone. Because we keep our freezers at minus 20 or below that, and that can get pretty cold.
Okay. Well, is it just ice cream or is it other foods?
We currently just do ice cream. We also have a little, for other like contractors and stuff like that, we have another side little like food type thing, like the little square foods you get. But we don't really deal with all that much.
Well, I didn't want to give you away, but I was just thinking I was flashing Schwann's in my head. But
no, okay. we're not Schwann's. we deliver Blue Bunny ice cream, so. Okay.
I've got a Schwann's habit.
Yeah, I'm not a Schwann fan.
Oh, really? Yeah, there's.
I had a bad experience with them. So let's just keep it there.
If I think where you're heading, I was just going to say there are a lot of foods that don't agree with me at Schwann's.
No, I have no problem with Schwann. I just have this problem with the company.
Oh, okay, that's a moral thing, but I mean,
yeah.
Some of their foods are not all that great. Some of their ice creams are really good, expensive. So, okay,
yeah, expensive.
All right, now tell me how you met our friend Buyer.
Let's see, about a little under a year ago, he had emailed me and asking about podcasting. Because I also do another website, or I own a website called How To Podcast with how2podcast.com. And he had read some things on doing some microphone type of techniques and mixer techniques and stuff like that. And he had emailed me, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'd heard you on your show. And I heard him on Mike Smith's show, the Mike Tech show, mm-hmm. and a couple other shows. And he'd been mentioned throughout the friends that I have. And he's like, well, I want to call you. And, the problem with Buyer is that he works really late. Mm-hmm. So we tried, getting schedules worked out. And he finally called me on, what was it? It was a Thursday morning, and it was 3 a.m. in the morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I got up an extra hour early, because I get up at 4 a.m. Mm. And I called him, and he's like, hey, how's it going? So we talked for 2 hours, and then I had to go run to work. And then the next day, he was like, I want to talk to you again. So, friendship just spanned from there.
Absolutely. He's just the absolute nicest guy. I mean,
when he wants to be.
When he wants to be? I mean, there's a different side to him.
Yeah.
He's always chipper. I mean, I don't know. He says I've saved him a couple times. Just all he needed was an email from me at just the right moment, or, call him on Skype at just the right moment when he's feeling down, and it turns him around. And that feels pretty good, because he is just the nicest guy. If I could talk to him anytime, I try to.
Oh, I do too. When he's on.
When he's on. That's right. And when he's not, it's...
I can't, unfortunately, when I get up in the morning, he's not online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I really want to talk to him, he's not online. That's during the day. I was like, I gotta wait till Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. And now you do your Saturday shows live for everybody who wants to know. Tell me where in the world you came up with getuo.me.
It's actually ketuo.
Ket?
Ketuo. That's ketuo.me. Originally, the name came from just the keyboard layout. It was Q, skip one, all the way down the line, the top row. And for my phone, I own a BlackBerry Pearl. And the top row is just perfect for a URL shortcut service. Uh-huh. So I thought, okay, I could do that, because it's, Q, W, and then the next button would be ER, and so on and so forth. And I needed a shortcut service, because some of these applications that you install, they're kind of hard to type in the URL and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, okay, yeah, and then ME was, spacious, because ketuo.com was already taken. And then when I bought it, I was like, I don't want a link shortening service. Let's use this as a podcast media network. And I thought, okay, yeah. And I've been using that ever since March of last year.
Do you ever have anybody tell you that it's kind of difficult to find, though?
Actually, no.
Oh, then I won't say that.
If you think of it as just hit the queue, skip one, go all the way down the line, and then just hit ME at the end, it's perfect right there.
It makes sense now, but like I said, I was pronouncing it get, and so I was doing G, and I could never find you. So I've been doing Google searches, and it found you, and then I'm scratching my head like, well, so when I put in get UO, I don't get it, but when I go to Google, it finds it, and now I realize it's the Q, not mm-hmm. a G.
Yeah, actually, when I tried to pronounce it, it sounded a little weird the way I would have. Mm-hmm. But then I went to there's a service out there called AT&T Voice. If you just do AT&T Voice in Google, you'll be able to find it, and it translates or text into speech. Mm-hmm. Really good. And what I did with that is I just typed it in there, and I believe it was the English voice, and then she pronounced it perfect. I was like, ooh, taken.
Uh-huh.
It's good. K-E-R-O. And because, you know, you don't think that it would be actually a word, but when it's actually pronounced that way, K-E-R-O with a Q, it actually fits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was having the hardest time. Okay, so now tell us about your introduction to Trek. And
ooh, my introduction to Trek. Oh, I have to say, originally I was not a Trek fan. I came from a family of the Wars. Let's leave it there. And you get it if you do, because you guys do battle all the time at the conferences and stuff like that.
The other side.
I came from that family originally, you know, that, and then I found science fiction, and then I found Star Trek, and I fell in love with Star Trek. I've pretty much watched almost all the Next Generation stuff. I've watched all of the what the heck is that? With the 7 of 9, I forgot that series.
Oh, Voyager.
Yes, Voyager. I watched all their series. I did not. The only one I did not watch was Deep Space Nine. It did not interest me all that much because it wasn't action-y enough. For me.
Wait a minute. Deep Space Nine wasn't action-y enough?
For me, it wasn't. I just didn't. It didn't get a pow. You know, I want to watch it. For some reason, it didn't. I watched very few episodes of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, that might be why.
I bet if I go back now and watch it, I'd probably enjoy it. Now that I'm more in depth with science fiction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't really care for it. I watched almost all of the Enterprise series. Didn't memorize all of it. But, of course, I've watched all the movies. And the original series, I wasn't really interested in the original series. Because of the red guys getting killed.
Red shirt blues, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Gene Roddenberry was the greatest when he created it, and then it was a really sad thing that he died just as, I believe, the Next Generation came on the air.
Well, he was around for a bit of it. But you're right, he did die, I almost want to say, the third or fourth season.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was the first season, but I could be wrong.
Oh, no, it was definitely within a few seasons, but it wasn't at the first. So he saw a little bit of it, because I remember seeing interviews about what they were doing. I think they were filming one where Leonard Nimoy came on as Spock, mm-hmm. Ambassador Spock, and it was about that time that he died. But so he really didn't see a lot of Deep Space Nine. And he most likely didn't, you know, obviously he didn't see any of Voyager, but I think he, when Enterprise came out, he was just about rolling over in his grave. I liked Enterprise. I thought it was okay, but the, you know, continuity things on Enterprise sucked to no end.
Yeah. I wasn't really... I mean, it was a good television show just to watch, but it should never have been made, really. I mean, we didn't really need to know it. I mean, it could have been thrown in as a movie or just a plain, you know, backstory, something like that, like they did with Next Generation with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have preferred that, but not the whole series.
Yeah, the whole prequel thing. Now, what about the latest movie? What'd you think of that?
It was good. I liked it. I didn't like the story.
In what way? Because, you know, I
the, you on this. The story where Kirk, you know, lost his mind in the time getting messed up, it was like you're messing with the old series. And I was like, don't want to refresh it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want new. We don't want a refresher course. Rehash. That's how I felt.
Yeah. My thing was, and I've talked about this on the show many, many times. My thing was, we had hyped up for 2 years we were going to see how Kirk meets Spock. And mm-hmm. it's not the way Kirk met Spock, obviously. You know,
no.
Spock didn't... I don't believe Spock tried to drum Kirk out for beating the Kobayashi Maru. Kirk's dad was actually there the day that Kirk was, you know, promoted to captain.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing was... It was pointless to me. I like the story. It was a nice story. I don't see them beaming.
There's a lot of plot holes.
There is. There's. It's crazy that, you know, I don't think they ever could have beamed onto a starship at warp.
It could have been possible. I mean, you figure it hasn't been done since, and I think that, you know, if it would have been done back then, and they banned it from ever being done, that would have been great, you know, because you don't see that in any of the, you know, the future series, according to, you know, Star Wars.
No.
So I would think that they would probably ban that, because it's really risky.
Say according to Star Wars?
Oops, I'm sorry, Star Trek.
Well, it's been nice talking to you. Goodbye. you know, I don't get into Star Trek, but I don't do this whole Star Trek of you'll die if you say Star Wars thing. But
I sometimes get those mixed up. Now, if I see BSG, now then I'm going to be a little bit mad here. There's too many stars in television and movies.
Right, but you know, unfortunately, you know, Star Wars. I'm trying to remember. Did they come out before the original series or after?
No. No, it was after.
I think it was after.
Yeah.
You know, Star Wars attempted to do what Star Trek did, but okay, even, we're not going to
even BSG.
What's BSG? Battlestar Galactica. See, this is it. I don't really get into a lot of sci-fi except for Star Trek.
Okay.
I never really got into anything else, except for maybe Spaceballs and Galaxy Quest, stuff like that. But you know, I don't do the whole Star Trek, Star Wars. Now, there are people like my co-host Brian who will kill you for talking about Star Wars. And, in fact, in Indianapolis, they did the Star Trek versus Star Wars bowling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and as I hear, Star Wars had a pro bowler on their team. So Star Trek never had a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Oh, well, maybe next
year. That's when they need to practice more.
Yes.
But although they could, you know, fork over some money and actually get some really good pro ballers
mm-hmm.
and beat them all.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I mean, it was all for charity, so that's all that matters. But and I did put on the... I'm a Mog. So I do like Spaceballs a lot.
Yeah. So do I.
So... That, you know, and I never knew Tim Russ, who played on Star Trek Voyager, was on Spaceballs.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that either.
Yes. We interviewed him, and he doesn't really like to be reminded of that. But he did have fun on it, but anyway.
He doesn't like being reminded of it. That's funny.
Not completely. So, but anyway, we're almost 30 minutes into the show, and we haven't done one segment. So, I've got a couple, you know, a couple things here we're going to do. And Ben was kind enough to even participate. Well, here we go.
And now, the Loot Trek Show is proud to present news from the future. Just because we ain't there yet doesn't mean it didn't happen. This is a breaking news alert. Here with your report is your news specialist, Lou Costanzo.
Thanks, Lou. Admiral Nora Satie, the Federation's longest-serving officer, died today. Admiral Satie, who retired from the Federation 7 times but kept coming back for various investigations, retired for a final time 10 years ago after failing to expose Romulan spies. The Admiral, who was convinced that as many as 43% of the Federation were Romulan spies and saboteurs, subjected hundreds of Federation officers to bright lights and open inquiries to see if they were roaches scurrying for the dark corners. Among the 3 people in attendance, Captain Jean-Luc Picard was quoted as saying, "The Admiral has joined her father, the late Judge Aaron Satie, in heaven, where they most likely begin indicting God himself, as well as all the victims of Wolf 359. Funeral arrangements have been canceled due to lack of interest. Admiral Satie is dead today at the age of 107. And now a special report recorded recently on subspace communique from the Federation Starbase at Ket-UO, the Loot Trek Show correspondent, Ben Straw.
LTSN News 3.
An accident at Starbase Mugwai forced Starfleet to lock down the sector around the Starbase. According to a Klingon researcher, a crew member was feeding a new life form that was found on an unmentioned planet. After feeding, it multiplied by 256 billion and doubling in size. It was also found that it had been given Earth water to drink that resulted in the life form to break the container it was being held in and filled the Starbase and the surrounding vacuum space with the life forms. According to Starfleet, the USS Gremlin was dispatched for the cleanup. At this time, the life forms have stopped multiplying, and Starfleet thinks the life forms will be contained within the week. That is, if Starfleet can keep the life form away from water. For LTSM, this is Benjamin Straw reporting.
Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Matt.
And finally, the standoff on the USS Voyager, which has once again been stranded in the Delta Quadrant, has come to an end. As you may remember, Captain's assistant Naomi Wildman was holding the senior staff hostage and somehow managed to initiate a 5-week self-destruct sequence because she wanted the holodeck characters Treves and Flotter to get commissioned rank. Ship security was finally able to end the situation when Wildman wanted an ice cream cone, which security laced with the drug Narcosleepy, causing Wildman to fall asleep. Captain Janeway was quoted as saying, "We need changes on this ship." Upset that it took 5 weeks to end the standoff, Voyager has once again resumed its course toward the Alpha Quadrant and will be continuing its weekly update statuses. Oh, goody.
And that was news from the future. Check back often for more news from the future.
Thank you. Ben, what'd you think?
That was great.
I hate to have to do all the edit points, but I love doing this. I love doing this.
I was just... editing is always great. I had to edit the last show of Road of I and We. We did an hour and 30 minutes, and I had to cut it down by 15. So, yeah, there was a lot of content in there that was really good, and I talked to Byer about it, and we discussed, you know, the show and what where we want to take the show, and we agreed, and we're going to not try and slim it down, but try and, you know, compact it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens.
Oh, absolutely it does. Yeah, mistakes happen, and I just continue on and edit them out. So I'm not too concerned.
An hour and a half to an hour and 15, yeah.
Really? Well, yeah. You know, we try to limit ourselves to an hour. But, yeah, Byer is that way. He does only about 20, 30 minutes on his shows.
Yeah, he does.
Whereas, you know, we just have so much fun, and we, you know, we love to talk, and I love to get Brian on one of his rants.
So, too bad he's not here, but he is in the chat room.
He is in the chat room, and he is, you know, coughing up. He said, let's see, just woke up from a long nap. Thought I'd come on and listen, even if I can't speak without coughing a lung out. I'm sorry, Brian. But
yeah, there's a lot of colds going around.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, I've got a sinus infection that I think crept down to bronchitis, but
yeah,
I'm not sure. I was feeling a little bit better this morning, so I'm going to wait and see how it goes before I go back to the doctor for another $30 copay.
Hey, you sound fine to me. That's all that matters, really, right?
Absolutely. Thanks. Dr. Benjamin has cleared Lou.
As long as you're not coughing into the microphone, the listeners will be fine.
Absolutely. All right, well, how about we do one more final segment? And this one here, as you know, we are part of the Tech Podcast Network. We are the only non-tech-related podcast on the Tech Podcast Network. And I think the reason why we got away with it is because, you know, what is Trek if it's not tech? It's, mm-hmm. You know, it's a human story of tech in the future. So we try to keep our membership and deserve it. So we're going to do another one I call the Tech of Trek. And I didn't tell you anything about it, but you'll be able to figure this out when I'm talking about it. So here we go. And now it's time for the Tech Podcast Network segment of the Tech of Trek, where we take a look at a piece of futuristic Trek technology that we either use today or are being worked on. And now in Star Trek, I'm sure you guys can remember that one of the things we used to laugh at was how could the ship keep a lock on the officer as they were down on a planet of 52 billion people. You know, keep a lock on their communicator, beam them out in the instant if there's any trouble, right? You remember seeing that?
Oh, yeah.
And that all started with Star Trek The Original Series, which also goes along with, you know, Captain Enterprise, two to beam up. And my question next would be, which two? I'm just going to assume it's you, but who else? Because you've got five people around you. But anyway, they were able to maintain a lock on their officers, beam them out in the first sign of trouble. We always used to laugh. Yeah, as if they could do that. Well, now, what do we do today?
What do we do today?
Cell phones, GPS devices. Basically, you have an electronic device that keeps a lock on you.
Hmm. That's true.
I mean, even my cell phone, I had a choice if I wanted to have only 911 lock or normal lock. I said normal. I mean, I'm not so worried if Verizon's going to stalk me someday. You know, but like Uncle Al said in the chat, unless there's an electrical storm. Well, it took a lot more than that, Uncle Al. And I don't mean as in it had to be worse than that. A lot of things interfered. You know, just that's the way it was. Something went down and the lock was broken. Some shield generator went up down on the planet, caused the signal to be blocked, as Brian said. But unfortunately, it wasn't foolproof.
Now you got cell phones. Actually, you've got metal buildings. I know I live in a hollow tube, and cell phone reception really is horrible. Mm-hmm. I bet trying to beam me up, Scotty, it will be pretty hard in this metal tube, or cigar tube, as I call it.
Okay, yeah. I know, same thing with my house in the top floor. I'm okay. Let's see how many bars I've got, too. And a beautiful snout of my miniature pincher, but that's a different story.
more than that, I got one, so.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And, of course, as Al said, there was always a problem with beaming. But the one thing And actually, you know something? I'm going to bring this up, but I need to set it up straight. But is there anything about GPSs you want to add to it?
Oh, GPSs. Not really. Now that we're getting GPSs in our cars now, a lot of the, like, OnStar and stuff like that keeps track of where you are. Like, let's say if you get into an accident with OnStar, it knows where you are, where you can get help right then and there.
Mm-hmm. They can unlock your doors. They can guide the rescue squad right to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brian mentioned a couple things. He said hardened building. I'm not sure what that means. But he then said, obviously you couldn't get a cell phone signal near a nuclear generator on a Navy ship. That's our running show gag. Anytime we mention anything that has to do with the Navy.
Yes, you can sail the seven seas. Yes, you can put your mind at ease.
Computer has a habit of putting that song in.
Yeah, in the Navy. Let's see.
But there's a maximum of two, so I'm not doing it again.
My brother-in-law, he's in the Navy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What does he do there? What's he do for the Navy?
Oh, let's see. He is he works on the submarines.
Ha, 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 ha. No frickin' way.
The nuclear submarines, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what... Maybe I never asked Brian, and I can't believe I'm going to ask him in a chat room, but Brian, what did you do on the sub or in the Navy? But, submarine? Hells no. There's no way. Can you imagine what it would be like being 500 feet below the ocean and then you see a water leak?
No.
Holy crap! I mean, that would just kill me. I mean, just a little water drip inside the submarine would be enough to... Oh, man, no way. I'd be too... Way
too scared. Gives me chills.
Really?
Yeah, it's like,
ugh. Oh.
I'm scared of heights, but I'm also scared of the deep.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like heights either, and yeah, I don't like water, as my wife tells you. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. That ain't true. Oh, Brian was a gunner's mate on an ammo ship. How'd we ever win anything, Nimmer? I'm busting Brian's chops. I do it all the time. Just because he ain't here on the show doesn't mean I can't keep it up.
Hey, so, why not?
But anyway, let's see. Who said... Let me go back a little bit. Uncle Al said something about unless there was an electrical storm, and then Brian said shield generator causing the signal to be blocked. There are some things about Trek that kind of anger me. And now it's time for my personally favorite segment, what we affectionately call Things That Make You Go BS. Where what's being said or what's being done in Trek just makes you go bullshit. And my thing is you, this technology on Star Trek always fails when you need it. When you don't need it, it works wonderfully. People on the holodeck, well, that is, of course, until the holodeck breaks. People on a runabout mission, or an away mission, of course, that always goes bad, too. But You ever hear them say, inertial dampers are offline? Oh, no.
Sometimes.
That kills me. If inertial dampers are offline, you're going to be stains in the back wall.
Well, the initial dampers are, yeah... You would be stains in the back wall.
Yes, it's what prevents you from going the wrong direction or, you know, moving when the ship stops or the deacceleration trauma. That's what Tom Paris said.
If the inertial dampers go down, wouldn't you be flying around?
Yeah, they have gravity plating that occasionally goes offline and they are floating a little bit or... But, yeah, seeing that. But what things about it that anger you or just make you go BS?
Well, the one thing that really makes me go BS is that, you know, when they say I've got two to beam up, okay, and one person does not have a communicator, how do they know that that person has to be beamed up?
That's what I was saying earlier. How do you know?
That's, you know, I was watching Voyager the other day, and it was like, it boggled my mind. It was pretty weird.
Right. Which two? That would be my question. I mean, I probably wouldn't last long on the starship because I'd be asking that question. Which two?
Another thing is, like, when 7 of 9 goes into her alcove, where does it plug in? A question just popped in my head the other day. I was like, where does it plug in?
I'm trying to think. Now, there's some technology today that you can actually charge things just by setting it on it now.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's how, but you're right. Where does she plug in?
One thing is, are there filters for farts? it makes me go, well, you know, some of these things, you know, you're crawling around in an alcove, you go, is there a filter for that? I mean, you don't hear or see. Well, you can't really. You don't hear, like, someone going down an alcove, crawling through an alcove, and him farting. Going, woo, jeez, it smells.
Okay, you mean a Jeffrey's tube?
Jeffrey's tube.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, Geordi, please.
Yeah.
Or maybe Data. You know, just letting one out. Data, was that you? Yes, I want to approximate human sounds. But then again, only in Enterprise did they even talk about a bathroom.
That's true.
Although on the blueprints on just about any starship, you could see they had the head. And I believe that's what the Devil term was. I hope I'm using it right. Brian, you want to correct me on that?
Yeah, it's a head. It's the head.
Okay. It doesn't sound right, but...
The one thing... You know, in Enterprise, in the Next Generation, there are actually some bathrooms being shown. Not really a lot, but they did have them. I think there was one for Voyager. They did show one where Blana Torres was in the shower.
Oh, the shower. Yeah, the sonic shower.
Sonic shower.
But I believe they found a way to exclude all bodily functions besides sex.
Oh, the toilet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of. Makes you wonder.
I mean, yeah.
How do they extinguish that waste?
I've heard that they actually sounds gross, but I've heard they actually use it in the replicator. It gets put into the replicator, and its energy, however it creates energy, is actually used in the ship's functions for, like, the replicator.
That's disgusting.
It sounds it. Or how about Captain Jean-Luc Picard with his English accent? And his brother Robert with his English accent. And Robert's son, René, with his English accent. And Robert's wife with her English accent. I mean, you know, obviously he was supposed to be French.
Yeah. Although it is on different, it is the future, different century.
That's possible.
So, you know, they're migrating.
Yeah, so that is possible.
But then you still got the language barrier. You think in the future that the language barrier would be gone and they'd all speak the same thing. English.
No, that's okay. Let me correct you on that one. But let me extend your BS moment there. The universal translator is built in their communicators.
True, yes.
So, however, before the universal translator locks on, they're speaking, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you read my lips, I was going, then when the universal translator kicks in, poof, you can read their lips in English now. Captain, thank you for saving my ship. I know you don't know us. Where are you from? The Alpha Quadrant. Boy, that is a long, long ways away. And you can read their lips in English.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's another thing.
Oh, it should be like a Japanese or Chinese movie.
Yeah, yeah. But here's another thing. Let's say you're in a runabout or in a shuttle. And like Chakotay in Voyager, he was doing his Akuchimoya in a shuttle because he can't do it in his quarters. Mm-hmm. And another ship locks on and starts firing on him. And you could see of course, what happens is the camera shakes. They shake the camera, and all the actors jump in their directions. But the problem is, if you ever watch the stars, they jump with the ship. So whatever motion the ship makes, the stars make with it. That's bull. What they should have figured was a way to keep the stars still. Because then if you saw the ship shaking and the stars moving around, you could see that it looks more realistic that the ship is actually shaking and not the whole damn universe.
Well, you gotta figure, although, if you do a 360 in a ship, the stars would actually rotate. Mm-hmm. So but technically, it is correct.
It's possible, but not the way they do it. They don't rotate it. They just bang it and they just vibrate it. But if you're looking on the inside, looking out, the stars should be still. But what they did, obviously, it's a green screen that they put in later.
Yeah.
So, but, okay. So let's catch up here. Uncle Al mentioned that on Star Trek, Undiscovered Country, they actually did lose their gravitational plating. That was on the Klingon ship, because obviously they're not as adept at engineering as a Federation ship. But then, how did the Federation ship that supposedly beamed onto the Klingon ship know that their gravitational field was down? Because they came on in gravity boots. So there's another BS moment.
Yep.
So, okay, at which Brian already affirmed Uncle Al's. Oh, Brian, please. I had to kick him out for that. Oh, you made me a moderator in the chat. How fascinating is that? I guess I could kick him out then. Oh, I'll never hear about this one next week. I can't do that. So, anyway. Well, hey, it was awfully good to have you on, man.
Yes, it was.
So, next
time... I thank you for having me on the show.
Show was good to have you.
Yes, it was.
All right. And everyone who showed up in the chat, Brian, Uncle Al, I think we had... what was the name of... Something like Drop Dead or Backhead or something like that. Blockhead.
And we had Mitch. Mitch was in the chat room.
Yeah.
Of course, Brian's in there. Uncle Al's in there. Your wife or daughter was in there.
Both, yeah. And I'm sure the puppy was listening too. So thank you, Minpin. I appreciate it. And, all right. And one last question for you, Ben. If you thought of yourself as a Star Trek character, related yourself to a Star Trek character, which one would it be?
Okay. I would have to do a mixture of some. Of two, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because one of them I'm not a big fan of, but one of them I am. Okay? Mm-hmm. I would have to mix Vulcan with Klingon.
Ooh.
Now, here's the reason why, okay, is because I have the emotional heart of a Klingon, but I have the innards of the Vulcan, okay, like a type thing, where it really takes me a while, and then it explodes like a Klingon. Uh-huh. So I think I'd be a mixture of those two. And plus, I absolutely love the Klingon battle weapons.
Oh, of course.
The swords and the...
Yeah.
The everything. Oh yeah.
All right.
So yes, I'd be a mixture of those two.
You just made a new friend tonight.
I just made a new friend.
Did you notice that?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if he quite meant it that way, but I think he loved the fact that you were doing the Klingon thing.
Oh yeah. I like what Brian says, I have the logic of a Klingon, yep. I do have a logic
of a Vulcan. The logic of a Vulcan and the temper of a Klingon.
Yeah.
That's fun.
When my temper blows, it blows big like a Klingon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, if I related myself to anything, it would be a fat Ferengi that was featured in.
It looks like you got the ears for that because with the headset on.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm looking at your picture and my picture, and I do see we both have just about the same hairline going.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, yes. Mm.
What are you gonna do when you get older? Yeah. The more handsome you are, the less hair you have.
So. Exactly. We just try and show it up on our face. You know?
Right. Right. Yep. Okay, Brian. I'm waiting for the command. It was good to have you on, Ben. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's always a little delay until he gets the, in the chat room. So I think he make good Klingon with Gorkon ridges. Oh, he is seriously into the Klingon thing. If you ever want to know about Klingons, everything you didn't want to know about Klingons and couldn't stand, go listen to show 15. I swear you'll throw your hands up and go, oh my God!
I've listened to some of his rants about Klingons. I love his rants about Klingons.
Just go to show 15 for the fun of it. But, you know, it was brutal. And that's the day my computer blue screened. I never was so grateful of a blue screen until that day. So, all right, the command was given. Look up. I'll call that good. All right, everybody, I want to thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show, and I really want to thank my guest host tonight, Benjamin Straw. You can see him at QETUO, that's QETUO.ME, and check him out with my buddy, Byer Brown. Byer, we love you. We sure like to have you on again. And good night. Hey, say kapla for Brian.
Kapla!